We're studying through Psalm 119, through the Psalms, and we're in Psalm 119. And we're going to start where we left off at 128. We finished there, so let's begin in verse 129. You know, we're talking about the Word of God. God's Word is so, important. And I hope those of you that have had to suffer through every verse of Psalm 119, I hope that it has really caused you to read a little bit more this past week. Just a little bit more, or at least every day. Something more than what you're used to doing. Just taking some time and going into God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 129 says this: Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, or because of that, my soul keeps them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Used to do. He says usest. That's King James. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down my eyes, because they keep not the law. He says, your word is wonderful. Wonderful. Your testimonies are full of wonder. When you read your Bible, you're going to read some things that you probably didn't even know were in there. And it'll just amaze you at how smart God is, how wise He is, and how now doctors are telling you things that they've just discovered recently that God said thousands of years ago. He says, your word is full of wonderful revelations. Your word is wonderful. It's full of wonderful commands, full of wonderful instructions, and full of, wonderful promises. God promises some mighty big promises to me and you. And it is not wrong for you and I to claim those promises, to actually claim the promises. He will do it. Now, it's not he has to. I'm claiming this and you have no choice. No. You see, we have a picture of God and we like to see him like we see ourselves. And he's nothing like us. Thank you, Lord. Nothing like us. You see, God wants to. God wants to see you blessed. God wants to see you solid. God wants to see your heart at peace. You know, at the Bible college, the students would come up when I taught down there, and the students would say, do we have to do this assignment? Do we have to go to chapel on Sunday nights? And I'd look at them and say, no, you get to. You get to do this paper. You get to go to chapel. You've got it all wrong. You don't understand what your God is like. We get to do these things. God wants to bless you. I mean, he wants to bless you more than you want him to bless you. But you keep moving out from under the spout where the glory comes out. You keep getting yourself taken off. We do that. We've got that tendency. So he says, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. You will slowly learn, hopefully more quickly than me, but you will slowly learn that it is good to do what the Bible says. Some of you that have children that aren't going in the right direction, you can look and say, oh, if I had only done what the Bible said. And, you know, the trouble with that is we can't just do it here and then a couple of years later bring it up again. It's got to start and it's got to never end. Never. Not ever. You notice how you let up and you start to wander off yourself? Like we're told in the New Testament, to reckon the old man, our old nature, reckon that dead. So you can starve the flesh by keeping not, I'm not talking about food, but I'm talking about, you know, you can feed your flesh with the things of your eyes and the things you let into your mind, or you can feed your spirit. But that old man, you can reckon him dead for 20 years, but stop for one day. And he might come back a little shaky, a little weak, but he'll still come back to take over. Have you noticed that? Your flesh comes right on back to take right on over. Even though it may have been 20 years and you've been going strong, give it one day. And that old man comes right back and says, I'm taking it from here. Your testimonies are wonderful. So my soul, therefore my soul keeps them. I'm telling you the truth. If you would like to see a better life for you and your family, if you would like that peace that is promised, get into the Word of God. Get back into the Bible. No gimmicks, no tricks, no quick fixes, no seminars that are going to make it better overnight. Nothing wrong with those kinds of things, yet they don't do it. They just don't do it in the long run. They work for a while. And then you'll need another seminar. You'll need another quick fix. You'll need to go through the drive-in window of the fast food quick fix spiritual thing all over again. But if you'll get into God's Word and stay there and begin to, you and I, by the power of the Spirit, begin to do what it says, you will grow. It will happen. That's what he's talking about. The entrance of thy words giveth light. And then he goes on and he says, even the simple are instructed by the Word of God. The simple are those who aren't real intelligent. They're not completely stupid, but they're a little slower. Some of us understand that. That's when we were growing up in school. When everybody else's mother said, don't forget your books, my mother was the one saying, don't forget your lunch. You know, and it's kind of turned out accordingly. The simple, even the simple can become wise, can become mature, can learn and grow up if you'll study the Word and spend time in the Word of God. Even the simple. And then he prays a prayer when he's talking about, listen, the Word, don't allow any sin to have dominion over me. Now, in the New Testament, you're going to find in Paul's writings, you'll find this insinuated a few places, talked about sort of. Paul just lays it on the line. Set aside that weight or that sin that so easily besets you or besets us. Every one of us. You included, Christian, every one of us, there is something that seems to get us easily. There is a sin that easily besets us. It may be different for you than for me, but there it is. And it's something that maybe you've been praying about the last 10 years or so, and you seem to still be weak in that area. Others just look at you and go, well, just quit it. Just turn. Just don't say that. And you say, pray for me. I'm trying. And it's different in every one of us. So none of us could cast the first stone. And there it is. So Paul says that we need to set aside every weight. And that sin that so easily besets us. Each one of us is, there's a chink in our armor just somewhere. And it's different among us. So we look at others who have that problem. We go, what a loser. The trouble is we have a problem. Nobody talks about it. And he says, don't allow any sin to have dominion over me. So we tell people, if you don't get into this, you won't have to try to get back out of it. If you don't start this, you won't have to learn how to stop it. If you don't go there, you probably won't get arrested. You know, haven't your kids? I remember in school, in high school, I have always been, and I thank the Lord for it. I think it was rebellion, which is a sin. But I had such an attitude that I wasn't a joiner. I didn't join. Even if they let me play in all the reindeer games, I didn't want to. And I look back now, and it really... probably it was an attitude problem, and God has worked on that. But it really kept me out of and away from a lot of trouble. When you're a joiner, when you're a follower, the crowd gets you to do things you wouldn't maybe normally have done, or it gets you to go places that you wouldn't normally go. A very good friend of mine, was a very nice guy. We were both had some leadership positions in one of the youth organizations at the church that we both would go to. His dad was one of the, I don't know what you called them there. It's a Catholic church. I don't remember what you called him, but he was not a board of directors, but he would have some input. And this young man and I, he was 2 years older than me. And he was a nice kid. I mean, a nice kid. But as we got into high school, as I was a freshman, he was a junior, and he had to get more cool as he got older. You know how cool is? And you have to do things you have to do things over here, everybody. It's over here. What are you looking at? You have to do things to try to stay cool. And that wasn't him normally, but that's what he did. And even though it wasn't like him, he died one night. Because he and his friends were out drinking. And this wasn't like him. I knew him well. He was a good friend of mine. That wasn't like him. But he had to become cool. He either became cool or you went into music. There was no, or you went to prison. I mean, the three things we could do as youth. Well, the way he died was the police were chasing the car that he was in. And they were out on a road. They had been to a big party. And he decided, since he wasn't driving, he would take a case of beer and throw it out. Couldn't get it out the window, so he opened the door. And when he threw it out, of course, he went with it at 80 miles an hour. And that wasn't him. That wasn't the guy that I knew. But you see, he was just trying to be cool. You know, there are sins you get yourself into, you don't know how to get yourself back out of. And I know some of you have been there and you think, what am I doing here? How did I get in this? How do I get out? And God's wisdom is don't get in and you won't have to figure out how to get out. Don't start and you won't have to learn how to stop. He says, don't allow any sin to have dominion over me. Don't let sin win. Don't let it begin to run my life. Our nation is built on programs. Now, trying to help people get out of the trouble that they're in. Isn't that true? We've got programs. Whether they're good or not, whether you like them or not, the fact is there they are, and they're designed to get this person out of this situation, out of this kind of lifestyle. Programs, and they don't really work. Oh yeah, for a while you'll see it. But if there's no heart change, you got problems on your hands. And talk to people who have been into the drug scene or alcohol or some of those kinds of things. My goodness, the struggle to get back out. Well, the psalmist says it this way. Don't allow any sin to have dominion over me. And how can he stop it? Verse 133. How would he do it? Order my steps in your word. Order my steps in your word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. How would I keep from sin having dominion over me? I know what some think. Well, just get Spirit-filled, which we should. And then don't worry, just the Holy Spirit will just give you the power. And that's what a lot of people are being taught. And you're just kind of waiting for the signs and waiting for the moving of the water. And we're waiting for the lights to shake. And you know what? The Bible is clear on how I can keep sin from having dominion over me in my life. Order my steps in your word. Let me learn to walk in accordance with what your word says. If I do that, I will avoid getting in to where I don't have to try and get out. Notice that. It's all about the word of God. And when Jesus wants to talk to you, he's going to say, you've heard my word. When the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life, he's going to put your eyes on Jesus, and he's going to then take your eyes and your nose and put them into the Word of God. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. That's how you can tell the Holy Spirit is working in your life. When you've got begin to get this hunger and this thirst for what God has to say. What does God want in this situation? Whatever God wants, I want to know. That's what I want to do. And that's what he's telling us here. He goes on in 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised or hated, yet do not I forget thy precepts. In American, I'm small and hated, but I do not forget your word. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. He says, thou art righteous. You know, God is righteous. We talk about that. Now he says it here. God's word is righteous. God himself is righteous. All that God does is right. And so you find in Africa, and you've heard me say it, they say to one another, the Christians will say God is good, and they'll repeat all the time. Because see, they're in an area where there's war going on, where people are starving daily. I see that millions are starving now in Ethiopia again. And yet you'll go to the Christians in Ethiopia and you'll say, what do you think about God? God is good. Everything God does is right. Everything God does is just. And you see, they trust him, and we should be able to say it, but Americans have a difficult time saying that. God is good. Everything God does is right. You're righteous, God. You know, even when you don't understand what he's doing, you've got to understand he's still good. Even when you and I don't know why he is allowing something, we've got to still understand God is good. I mean, why does he allow some things? We've got partial answers to these. He'll tell us the rest of the story when we get there. For right now, there are many things he has said to me and you. He has said, I can't explain it to you. You can't understand it now. Jesus says to his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, I have more things to tell you, but you can't understand them right now. I'll tell you later. You can't grasp them. Just do what I've told you so far. Trust me this way. Let's keep walking. We can rest in this truth. God is righteous. And then he says, I'm not much in this world, Lord, but I remember your word. Help me to understand your word so that I may live. Notice, he says in verse 143, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight. So when you say that in American, Lord, it's hard down here. It's hard. There is persecution. There are questions that I have that no one seems to have answers for. The things that are happening around the world, Lord God, this is hard. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet your commandments are my delights. I will not let this take me out of your word. I will not let this keep me from fellowship. I will not let this take me from your presence. I want to pray and be in your presence. And so you and I learn about God's word. Times are hard. And when times are hard and they're going the way I don't want them to go, I can't quit church. You think it's because I'm the pastor, don't you? No, it's because that's what God's word would have me to do. When things go wrong, I can't just walk away, set my Bible down and not even look at it for a month or two or three months. I can't do it. That would be the most dangerous thing I could do for myself, for my own Christian walk, to get out of fellowship, to walk away. A lady, friend of mine, excuse me, her father-in-law died. She got angry with God. She came in my office and she said, "Who does he think he is?" And I said, "Well, I know who he thinks he is. We're both trying to figure out who you think you are to talk that way in the presence of the living God." "Well, I don't think he had a right to let my father-in-law die, and I don't want anything to do with him. You can have my Bible." Hey, maybe we've all felt that way at times. You see, when my mother got sick, I didn't want her to die. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I fasted, and I prayed, and I prayed, and she died anyway. Now, I didn't want that. But what a foolish thing for me to do is to say, "Here, God, here's my Bible. You can have it. I don't need you." No, you know, I needed him more then than before that. Because now my mother wasn't telling me what to do. Maybe you feel that way. Something's happening in your life. It's just not going right. It hurts. It's frightening. It's confusing. Whatever it is. That's what he says. "Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet your commandments are my delight." We don't get out of fellowship because we're hurting. We get tighter into fellowship. We don't run away from the church when we need help. We run to the body of Christ. That's what we do. What is our tendency? The opposite. Don't pray. Don't read. Get away from church. Get out of it. Don't call me. I don't want people asking me how I'm doing. And then you notice when people say, "I just wanted to call you and see how you're doing." And you say, and it bugs you. You don't like it. I wanted to read you a verse. "I don't want to hear it." "Wait, you're a Christian. What do you mean you don't want? I just don't want to hear it." You know, because it convicts is what it does. So the psalmist is a wise man. "I'm not much in this world, but I remember your word. Help me to understand your word so that I may live." And he says, "The righteousness of your testimonies, they are everlasting." It's everlasting. "Give me understanding. Help me to understand your word." Pray that each time you open your Bible. "Lord, fill me with your spirit and help me to understand what you're going to say." Because many, many will say this to me, "I read it, but I honestly don't understand it." Well, we all do that. You're not alone. We all do it. So you ask, "Lord, help me to understand what you're going to say to me. When you say it to me, help me to get it." And then read it, and then read it, and then read it. Some ask how you prepare to do a verse-by-verse Bible teaching. How do you prepare when some of the young men who are have just begun in the ministry, they'll email and say, "I don't know. How do you prepare? What do you do?" Well, first of all, you have to know the scripture. And so if you're going to do Psalm 119 or if you're going to do Psalm 117, you read it 20 to 30 times. Just read it through so that you've got it, so that you've sort of got it. And then you begin to slowly now go through it after you've read it over and over and over so that when you're reading verse 144, you can remember what was in verse 117 also. You read it so many times that it's just sort of there with you. You don't have it memorized, but you read it. So if you want to start studying your Bible slowly, read it. Read it over and over. You say, "I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Good. Read it. Read it two or three times in a row. And then read it every day. Go for a good 3 or 4 months. Read it two or three times a day. So you start to get the gist of it. And you'd be surprised at how it actually starts making sense. And then you'll start using it at work or at school. You'll start talking and some of it will come out. And you think, "Ooh, I didn't even know that was in there." It comes out. You know, computers, you put garbage in, you get garbage back out. You put the wrong information, you can really mess it up. Your mind and your hearts, they work the same way. What you put in there, that's going to come out. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You've heard it put this way. The mouth is the bucket of the heart, bucket of the well. So what's in the well of the heart comes out the bucket of the mouth. What we put in there comes out. So keep putting in God's word. He says in verse 145, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. He calls upon the Lord in verses 145 to 152. He calls upon the Lord from his heart. Please deliver me. Please save me. I've obeyed your word. I'm wanting to do what you say. I've been walking in your strength, doing what you say. Please deliver me. And then he goes on and he says, this isn't something that I do when I'm bored or, you know, when I think about it. He says, I'm serious about it. There were many times I was up before the dawn, calling out to you and reading in your word. Sometimes, he says, I was up late into the night, spending time in your presence, calling out to you, looking in your word, looking to see what you were wanting, looking to see what you were saying, looking to see what direction you would have me to go. And he says, hear my cry and strengthen my life. My enemies don't listen to you. They don't listen to your word. We are at war. And we're fighting an enemy that doesn't have the same kind of moral fiber that we have. They're a different breed. They don't base what they do on the Bible. Our nation is based on the Bible. Even the non-Christians know it. Our court system is based on God's word. We think that way. So you go into combat and you think we won't fly a plane into a building and you could kill many, many civilians. We try to precision hurt the right people. And that's legitimate. And sometimes there's collateral damage and you're sorry for that and you don't want it. But you got to understand that is a Christian worldview. Not everybody has that. And that's what he's talking about here. My enemies, they don't listen to your word. When you fight with those people, you're in another world. It's all that you know and understand doesn't work in their world. And that's what he's saying. You got to help me, God, because my enemies don't listen to your word. 153, verse 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not your truths, your statutes, your word. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. Once again, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. Quicken me according to your word. That's what we read in verse 153, starting in 153. It's 154, literally, that we read, plead my cause, deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. The word quicken means to make alive. Now, he's not saying, I'm dead. You got to make me alive again. What the word you and I would use to make it logical is this, and it's translated this way in other parts of the Bible. He says, revive me. I'm alive, but I'm weak. He's not saying you got to bring me back to life. What he's saying is you've got to revive me. Get me up to strength. Get me going again. I'll read it to you so you understand. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. How do you think God would revive him? It would be according to the word of God. Revival. We talk about that term in Christian circles. We talk about great revivals in the past. We talk about hoping for a revival now. To revive, the King James says, is to quicken. And you just learned, of course you've seen other places in Scripture, how God's going to do it. Anytime there is revival, it comes through the Word of God. Did you hear that? So I'm hearing that there is a great revival movement going on, and that the Spirit of God is doing such amazing work that people are actually, there's a big revival. You know, according to Scripture, not so. According to Scripture, revival comes through God's Word. So you can have the Spirit moving, but there must be the Word of God that goes with it. There's an old saying that we used to say, it was back a long time ago. Too much spirit and you blow up. The word without the spirit teaching and you dry up. The word and the spirit together and you grow up. And I think you're seeing a lot of blow up going on. And he says, revive me. Revival always comes through the word of God. Look at the great Welch revival. Just go back and look. Then following, when Finney preached, Moody, those guys, go back and look. The bar rooms there in that area called Wales, the bar rooms closed down. How? By picketing, by going out there, by bombing them or setting them on fire? No, by the word of God being preached so powerfully that so many people were getting saved and they didn't go back to the pubs anymore and the bars were having to close down. And the prostitutes weren't having business because they weren't trying to shut down those houses. What they were doing was preaching the word of God. You see, revival comes through the word of God. So if you want to see revival in our land, or in any place in the world, you've got to be preaching the gospel. You've got to be preaching the word of God. The word of God has to go forth for you and I to see revival. And that's what he's telling us. God's word will revive your heart. It'll revive your life. It'll revive your attitude. And he says, great are thy tender mercies. And then he says again, revive me according to your judgments. That'd be God's word. No matter how many stand against me, I will not turn from your word. And then he goes on to end that section with this. Your word is true from the beginning. I still believe, excuse me, we can trust God. And we can trust what he says. I am convinced of it. I guess that people are telling me that I'm rare in our society today, and wouldn't doubt that, but I just believe if you yourself gave your heart totally to the Lord and began to get into his word and began to say, let me walk in this, I believe you would see major changes in your life, major changes in your family, major changes where you work, where you go to school. You would see lives beginning to change around you because of a simple walk. I'm convinced of it. That's what God's word says. See, your word is true from the beginning. We can believe all of God's promises, all of them, all of them. And if you don't know what they are, just start reading the book of Genesis and read on through. There are a lot of them that are for you. There are some that are not for you. You need to know the difference. There are some that are for his chosen people, Israel, the Jews. And those aren't for you. And if you're quoting verses and claiming scriptures that aren't for you, you're wasting good time. So you and I need to learn which promises has he made to us. Which ones go for all of his children. Which ones go for specific. Which are for the church. Which are for Israel. And we need to learn that because God's promises can be trusted. we can know just how to live because God's word teaches us how. You go through God's word, and we go through it verse by verse, but you begin to go through God's word verse by verse, you will tackle every tough subject that you can think of as you begin to go through. You'll tackle rape, incest, abortion. You'll tackle all these issues. Baptism, being spirit-filled, gifts of the Holy Spirit. You'll tackle every one of these things if you go verse by verse. God leaves not one of them alone. And you go right through and you'll begin to learn. Instead of us tackling it, a lot of times we want to have it the easy way. And we like others to do the work for us. Well, I was reading in this book, and this is what it said about speaking in tongues. Well, I was reading in this book, and this is what it said about end times. I think right now that everything in Revelation has already happened because that's what this book said. Someone asked, because North Korea and because China and because Russia and because Syria, you know, some of those nations that are mentioned there in Ezekiel 38 and 39, some said, do you think that what we're seeing is the battle of Armageddon? Well, who cares what I think? What does the Bible say? Go back and look at that final battle. Armageddon is a war. The final battle we call Armageddon, but Armageddon is a war, and it's going to be years long. And you go back and take a look and see what the Bible says. I think that you will see the Bible clearly tells you that this is not Armageddon. Clearly. But go, don't take my word for it. Go and read it. It explains it to you. It's not like you can't read it and can't understand it. It's not like you've got to be some sort of holy man sitting on some hill far away chanting boogie woogie. No, you can read this. And it's pretty easy to understand. If you understand the first 65 books before it, the book of Revelation is really easy to grasp. If you are a student of the Old Testament, the book of Revelation will make a lot of sense to you. All you have to do is become a student of the Old Testament. That's easy. Start reading through God's word. Your word is true from the beginning. We can trust it. Verse 161. Almost done. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I like that. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Psalm 119, verses 161 through 168. The psalmist says, he has more respect for God's word than for the rulers. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, he says. But my heart stands in awe of your word. All he's saying is, I have more respect for your word than for the rulers of the world. I will listen to you and to your word. I rejoice in your word. He says, I rejoice like one who has found great spoil, meaning great wealth. Someone who has found a treasure chest full of gold, full of silver, a great treasure. He says, I rejoice in your word more than that. Of course, we read earlier on, your word is much more precious to me than gold, than silver. Oh, man, why don't we pray and ask God that that would be the case with us? It's hard to find an individual who says, I love your word much more than I love my paycheck. I love your word a lot more than I love my stuff. I love your word much more. I mean, give me a choice of having your word and winning the lottery, I'd pick your word every time. I mean, how many can say that and not be lying? That's what he's saying. Man, I rejoice in your word like one who has found great wealth. Those that love your word, he says, have great peace. Didn't Jesus say that? Trust me, follow me. Let not your heart be troubled. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Peace. Those that love your word have great peace. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, if you've got it memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not into your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. You just memorize that verse and say it when you're feeling kind of odd. It just brings a peace to you. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. You memorize those two verses. Be anxious for nothing. Meaning be careful or don't worry about anything. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of the Lord, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace. Those that love your word have great peace. People say, doesn't this war scare you? No, you know why? Because God is going to take care of it. Well, you could say that you're not there. But see, you don't know me. I would be there if I wasn't so old. I'd be there because I wanted to. Well, all the others are looking for peace. I'd be there because I wanted to. That's just kind of how I'm made. If there are shots fired, I kind of like that. Many of you aren't that way, and I don't blame you. God bless you. Not only do they have peace, but notice nothing will stumble them. Isn't that what he says? Nothing stumbles them. They won't be fooled or lured away. They won't stumble over stumbling blocks placed in their way by the enemy. Those that love your word won't be stumbled. You stick with the word of God, and you'll have a solid walk going. You'll be able to know which way to go and what to do. You'll know God's will. He says, I follow you. See, I walk in your word and according to your will. And you see all that I think and do. Kind of like that too. He says, that's verse 168. I've kept your precepts and your testimonies. All my ways are before you. See, God sees everything that you and I do. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're going to say. Bible says, God knows what I'm going to say before I say it. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're all about. He knows my ways. So it's best just to follow Him. Excuse me. Verse 169. We'll finish it up here. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when you have taught me your statutes, your laws, your word. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. He says, give me understanding according to your word. Paul the apostle comes to a town, Corinth, and he says, I have determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what I want to talk about. I don't want to argue all this philosophy. I have determined to know nothing. That doesn't mean he wouldn't learn, he wasn't growing, and he didn't know other things. He knew how to make tents. He was a wise man, well-educated. But I've determined, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to be about. This is what I want my life to represent. Nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Give me understanding according to your word. My lips will utter praise and my tongue will speak of your word. That will be my life, your word, your ways, your commands. For the rest of my life, that's what I want. Help me, Lord, for I have chosen your precepts, your ways, your word. I long for your salvation. I want to be with you. Those who really walk with the Lord, they're not perfect. They're still saved by grace, but they really want to go home. Have you met anybody who really wants to go home? You know, it's nice here, and it's been a real slice of heaven, but heaven is home. Paul says, I am torn. I'm between I'm in a real hard spot. I want to go home. I want to go be right there in the presence of the Lord. But I know to stay here is good for you, and I can keep preaching. And you think, you just stay in the Word. You start to see what heaven is like. You look around to see what the world is like, and you think, Lord, come quickly. The bride and the Spirit say, come on. And He will. I want to follow You, He says. Your Word is my delight. That's what I think about during the day. That's what my life is really about. You and Your kingdom. You and Your Word. You and Your will. It's just what I want to do. Then He goes on, and he says something. You might think it's a little odd, but as He closes this entire long chapter, He says, I have gone astray just like a lost sheep. There are times when I wander, He says. He knows that he's weak. Lord, lead me. Rescue me by Your Word. There's this longing in my heart to be with You, to follow You. But Lord, there are times when I catch myself, I've strayed off. I wandered, I didn't even know it. And there I, just like a lost sheep, I look back and I go, I don't quite know exactly how I got over here, but I've strayed off. He says, I'm weak, Lord, just like a lost sheep. Help me. Keep me through Your power and through Your Word. And you and I can, I know after that long psalm, say, God's Word is important. I need to make it more of a priority. By God's Holy Spirit, by His power, it needs to become more of a priority in my life. I need to read my Bible. I need to pray more. And He says, and we can all say it, and I really want to serve Him, and I have this desire, but sometimes we catch ourselves having wandered off a bit, strayed some, just like a lost sheep. You know, lost sheep can't find their way back. They're not smart enough. They'll get themselves far away. They don't even know they're lost for most of the time. They're having a great time. Hey, there's good grass. We can eat this. And soon they're gone, and you've got to go get them because they're stupid. And He says, I'm just like a little lost sheep. Lord, you got to save me. You got to help me. Prone to wander. Sometimes it's what I do. Sometimes it's what you do. And that's what He's saying. God's Word is important. Read your Bible. We don't worship the Bible. We worship the Lord. If someone stole this from you, you'd still know God. Stay. You'd still know God's Word. Because it should be in our hearts and our heads. And then you can get you another one. This is America. You can have 50. You can have the NIV. That's the nearly inspired version. Yeah. I mean, all these different versions that people use. And people ask me what version of the Bible I use. I use the Idaho version. I don't know what version you use. I have an opinion on which ones are more solid and which ones are better. But, you know, if you have found one that's written for third graders and you just seem to like it, don't let anybody put you down, man. Bring it to church and open it up and follow along. Don't you worry about grade levels. The NIV is written at an eighth grade level. Don't you worry about higher education. Don't you worry about that. You read your Bible. Read your Bible. Open it up. See what it's got to say. And ask the Lord for a heart that's prepared to listen. And then for the strength to go do. Lord, let me get up from here now and go do this. Show me how. Let's bow our heads together. It is our prayer, Father God, that we would become men and women of Your Word. Because there are so many things still we don't know. You continue to be so faithful and teach us. And Lord, we're so slow at what we do. But that's okay. There's no award for getting through it fast. That's what You said. We're just line upon line. Precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Teach us, Lord. Fill us with Your Spirit. Give us that hunger and that thirst. And we pray for our children. Pray for our youth, those that are here with us
tonight. Those that are over in the other building, as they study verse by verse also, high school, junior highs, all the children, the little children, Lord, as they go through their Bibles and they study your word. We pray for them. Help them to understand it, Lord. Turn their hearts. Help us all to shine that others might see Jesus. Lord, as we worship you, I know there are some who are hurting tonight. And the psalmist says, even though the trials, the tribulations, the difficult times, even though they're there, I still trust in your word, still trust in you. Lord, help us to have that heart. It's not natural. It's not normal for us. So, Lord, work in us as we worship you. Mm-hmm.